You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Lunga, as we continue this conversation, I just want us to reverse a bit.
Sure.
You touched on ego.
Yes, sir.
And I want us to talk about ego, Lunga.
Yeah.
Like, it's I don't know. It's like it's a drug. It's like this thing closes our mind to the accountability and the responsibility that we need to be taken. It's like we're more concerned about self-preservation than we are concerned about fixing. It's like we struggle with conflict resolution.
You understand ego perfectly. You understand ego perfectly, my brother. Ego is like, sorry to interject, ego is, it's exactly what you just said now. What it's, when you say self-preservation, it's self-preservation of the ego. Remember, ego is let's look at ego this way. It's a living organism. It's a living thing that wants to sustain its own life.
Its own selfish needs.
Yes. The minute you want to now take this accountability and take up vulnerability for the betterment of your true self, the ego sees, yo, I will not have room anymore here. So it comes up.
Yeah.
It comes up questioning, what kind of man are you? Want to be vulnerable for what? They should fall in line. Why should you change your ways? Yeah. For good, bruh. For good. A woman must know her place, or the businessman, I'm a man. Then you start saying your praise, your clang names and other things, and then now the ego is taking over yet again.
And it would seem culture also promotes ego. Because let me just also add to why I'm saying that. You Zulu, I'm Ndebele. It's very common for your tribe to say ngingum Zulu, and it's common for my tribe to say ngingum Ndebele, man. Ndebele kamzilikazi kamashobane. And we're calling all this because what I'm trying to reinforce.
But let's be cautious.
And
I hear you. There's a difference between ego and pride.
Yeah.
And self-awareness.
Right.
So I feel that and ego is both is dual. Negative and positive.
Positive, yes.
So we need to understand that. When the ego is being fed more than, because again, life is about balance. I don't like that term, but yeah, it's about balance of sorts. No? You can't give it too much, you know, because a fair amount of ego is healthy to a certain degree, and then when it's too much, it becomes very toxic and dangerous. So I feel like that's why they call those things praise names. It's to praise. It's like also praising God. It's there's no ego involved. There should not be ego involved there. Let me rather put it that way. But at times it happens. And also remember, and when you do something to overpower the next person and shut them down, it's generally not a healthy or good thing to do. So then it becomes negative. So going back to what you were asking earlier, or what you were mentioning when you're saying that ego plays a role, which is one of the topics we're going to be covering throughout the month, is that we need to put to death ego, which brings up another question, which links up to accountability. When you say men need to take accountability for what? You know, we need to know the wrong first before we say we're taking accountability. And killing the ego, we need to understand what is ego, and who does the killing, and why should it now be violent or killing? You know, should we not then be able to embrace the bad and good qualities of ourselves? Isn't that now true vulnerability and sitting and accepting, Guti, I have this the Zulu culture in me, the Zulu man in me lives very strongly, and he comes up it comes out very strong at times. Do I not need to understand that, okay, that's the nature, but I will not let it take over me.
Yeah.
It is a part of me. But another part of me is is the gentle, loving, caring, present father. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other part of me is a businessman or I'm a life coach and I run an NGO that looks after suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. There's other parts where I'm a friend, I'm a brother. So all these things kind of come in and play a role. So ego, I feel, you know, I won't go too much into it, but just touching with ego, I feel it's just that perceived self or character that we've created to survive throughout in the world. Mm. It's not a true reflection of who one is. Mm. It's not. It's like a protective mechanism,
right?
To help us survive and get through, you know, crazy world out there, which has demanded that men look, feel, and do in a particular way. Mm. Ego is alter ego. It's that persona you create to navigate through the world. Mm. It's understanding that there's a false self and a true self. Mm. Once we get that, I think that's why suicide. Sorry, just last thing. That's why suicide becomes so prevalent. As I study suicide, right? I'm studying it. I do like many short courses. I just finished one last week. Mm. I got accredited also for understanding suicide in high school context in young teens and in young people. Mm. Understanding that with I'm trying to kill myself. Mm. It's not that they want to end their physical life and die. Mm-hmm. They want to stop the feeling that they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And they, at that point in time, they feel that ending their life will stop that feeling and they will not feel that anymore. Like it's, I can sleep and not wake up to this crazy feeling I'm feeling, this feeling of inadequacy, this feeling of, because others say they just cry. They just cry. They don't know why they're crying. They don't know why they're hurting. They can't pinpoint the pain. Mm. Ask them now, what's wrong? They wouldn't know. Mm. But if they just end their life, that pain will stop. So it's about ending the pain. Mm. So it means that there's another self that's feeling and doing something else. The true self is still in there somewhere. Mm. So in one of the programs I do is the reprogramming of the mindset. You know, so I'll ask the person, okay, Sharp, what's the outcome? Like, what are you expecting should you kill yourself? Like, what is it that you're looking for? Mm. Or what then after you've killed yourself? Like, what's going to happen? Oh, I'll stop feeling the way I'm feeling. Oh, okay. Is there something else that maybe we could do that can give you the same feeling? That can stop what you're feeling. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I'm like, okay. Last time you were genuinely happy, when was it? The time I went on a trip with my mother. Let's say the mom is passed on. Trip with my mother, we went there. I'm like, okay. So what can make that trip, your mindset, what can make that even more fun? If maybe I went down a slide and maybe I saw a giraffe. I'm like, okay. I understand your mother's no longer around. But if you were to take a trip now, where would you go? No, I'd probably go here and here. I'm like, okay. Have you tried that yet? No, I don't have the money. No, forget about the money. Where could you go close by? Maybe there's a park here. There's a Richfield Dam. Mm. It's 20 rand to get in. Maybe I can get 20 bucks or something. Mm. Okay. Yeah, try that before you kill yourself. I'm not saying don't kill yourself. Maybe postpone it. Mm. Maybe you try it next week. But today, let's go to the dam. Let's just go there and see what happens. You know, yeah, maybe they do go there, come back. So, how was the dam? Oh, it felt good, but I still miss my mom, obviously. Mom is there. But then it's you redirect the mind, let's get the same outcome you get from death, from killing yourself, right? Let's get an alternative that can fill that. Mm. So, ego could be the same thing. What's the alternative to feeling seen, strong? Mm. Wanted, respected. Hey.
Wow.
It
would seem to, and I can't run away from this one. I need to go back again to Adam.
Yes.
One of the reasons why I believe Adam ran away is because he felt that there were no longer other options. Hiding means that there's no other options. and there's hope that this will pass away. How it will pass away.
If I hide long enough.
Yeah, if I hide long enough. And God is saying, it's not the hiding that solves the problem.
Mm.
It is you coming to me and I fix things.
Eish.
And I think this is where we struggle as men.
Eish.
When we run out of options, we forget that there's a God who's got a million options for one problem.
Sure. I love how you're interpreting this Bible verse, man. yo, that's sheesh.
Mm.
So you can say, when you said, where are you, is also asking because it's like, but like, how?
What did you tell
me? I'm here. Where are you?
Yeah.
Why don't you come to me?
Mm.
That's the thing. You're very right. I think that's why the suicide rate is so high.
Yeah.
That's why dysfunctional broken homes there are so many. Divorce is so high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming the man, but I'm just saying you the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not blaming the man, but I'm saying you the man.
Mm.
Where are you?
Mm.
That's the thing. Like, you're very right, man. Like as you said that, I just got a flashback to some many times where I felt like I had no way out or option.
Yeah.
And not recognizing that I didn't need sometimes you don't need a way out, you just need to sit with the emotions. You need to sit in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very right also, Guti, that's the opportunity where we are reminded of our limitless, like we are limited as men.
Our humanness.
Yeah, our humanness.
Mm.
That's where God steps in.
Mm.
Like even there's a, I'm not sure it's a Bible verse that says that, we can only get up to so far and then God takes over.
Mm.
Like we need to be reminded of that.
Mm.
So it basically saying, we need to go back to saying we need to be one with God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back to the manufacturer.
Yeah.
To say, yo, the product is dysfunctional. Like, hey.
And it's not your fault, manufacturer.
Yeah, it's not your fault, manufacturer.
It's how used it.
Yeah. It's me. I don't know how to use this thing, man. Like,
wow.
I've had it for 30 something years. I'm turning 40 next month, so I've had this for 39 years, and I'm like,
I'm misusing it,
Baba. Like, help me, God. Mm. Like, this is why, as we shared offline, that I'm getting baptized today.
Mm.
It's part of that,
mm-hmm.
Tammy. It's part of our conversation.
Yeah.
I'm living it.
Yeah.
Because why I realize, Guti, I've been very skillful with talking the talk, but not walking the talk.
Wow.
So now I'm walking the talk, and I'm praying to God that this thing, it goes into, it should be the same thing for other men.
Mm.
It should go into every other aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Business, work, relationships, parenting, friendships, whatever, that we become holistic. I think that's what you and I are trying to achieve by having this conversation.
Lunga, you are getting baptized, and I just want us to quickly touch on that.
Mm.
There's a sense that God is for women.
I don't understand.
There's a sense that some men say going to church is for weak men.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's a thinking, there's a school of thought amongst men to say, inkonzo ngiyabafazi.
Sure. Yeah, there's a reason. Yeah.
And if God created men in his own image, why then do we get to a point where we say going to his house is feminine?
Because going to church, praising God, it demands vulnerability, my brother. That is the prerequisite of salvation, demands surrender.
Mm. Wow.
which man, that's
deep.
Yeah, which man you know would like voluntarily go and put down his manhood and say, you know what? I surrender. I have no idea how to navigate this life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sinful in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me for I've done wrong.
Yeah.
I'll continue to do wrong. Mm-hmm. But I bow down before you, oh God, and that in you, all things will be made possible. You want me, a God figure, made in the image of God, and I've got God likeness, to go and bow down before someone else. Awa.
Wow. I didn't see it that way.
No, it's not going to happen.
Vulnerability is a problem.
What? Vulnerability is a prerequisite to this God, Jesus thing. It's surrender. Surrender. God tells Nicodemus, imagine telling Nicodemus, what is the only way, my friend, the only way you can enjoy the wealth of what I have to offer, which is everlasting life, prosperity, peace, purpose, a safe haven, you know, through God, is if you were to be born again.
Wow.
And Nicodemus is like, wait a minute.
Should I go back to my mom's
what
womb?
You say? Yeah, what are you saying, man? I must what? Go back to my... Oh, what? There's no way I can go back to my mom's womb.
Be like a child.
Be like... He's like, no. I didn't mean go back, but be like a child. And then still, that is still confusing to Nicodemus. Isn't Nicodemus, you correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he like a noble man?
Yeah, he was one of the hierarchy.
Now you want me to go back, behave like a child? Oh, man, I've got a reputation to withhold. But they know me in the streets, yeah. Mm. Now you want me to go and...
Do you know who you're talking to?
You know, young guys who ban me. Oh, come on, Tommy. You want me to go put up my hands and say, Abba Father, and cry, and get another man to put his hand on me, and you want me to get another man to tell me what the Bible says? There's humility at every turn, not just in Christianity, but because it's a Christian radio station, we're focusing on that. In worship.
Yeah, right.
In accepting and embracing your humanness, there is a sense of vulnerability. Actually, without it, you may not.
Mm.
Without it, you can't learn. Even the process of learning, like I'm talking about in school, learning, it requires courage.
Wow.
But you cannot tap into courage without unlocking vulnerability first. Mm. To read a book, right, and know you can't read it. What is that? Like, your ego can take a knock there. You're not dumb. You are learning.
So
you have to be vulnerable enough to make mistakes. Sound like a fool, not know what you are saying or doing, or not know what result you will get by doing this and trying this. That's why a child is the most beautiful thing, because he or she would just babble. Like my daughter, my youngest one, she lights up my life. She's almost two. I had a phone call. I have phone calls with her almost all the time because she's not with me. And I call her, hi, daddy. It's a full conversation.
Yeah.
She has no method of being shy. I'm a fool. She's going in.
Yeah.
And every fourth babble, sixth babble, there's a bit of a word there.
Yeah.
A bit of a word.
Mm.
Daddy, she's got it. Mama, she's got it. I think she's got it. Then after a while, it's going to come together. So... answer your question, why is it that with men we think and feel that church is for women? Is because that old school of learning is that, listen to this, as old mama Liz, you know, it's only them who cry, it's only them
who confess,
who kneel down. You see what we've done? We have actually... The woman didn't do nothing, man. We moved ourselves to say, our, not me, you.
Yeah.
It's for you. You go bow. Yeah. Me, I don't bow. Until God is like, oh, so you don't. For every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
You say no.
Mm.
That's the ego. Like ego, that's why they equate ego with the devil, because it's just like how Lucifer was wanting to take
what's not his.
Exactly. The ego, that's the ego. You've defined it perfectly there, Tommy. The ego wants to take what doesn't belong to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Lunga, and Lunga is the founder of BWSA Brave Works Support Academy. a suicide prevention organization, and we are talking about issues that affect men. And we're deriving our talk from the book of Genesis. And the question is, why was Adam hiding from God? And our conversation this morning is entitled Finding Men. It would seem that we are lost as men, or we are hiding, and somebody needs to do the finding. And that's a very deep question. We've spoken about ego, we've spoken about other things.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.